This is Local Matters with Johnny Manson on 94.7 Timber Country.
About 8 minutes after 8 o'clock, and our guest is Sonia Wilkins, Grace Harbor Veterinary Services and Twin Harbors Wildlife Center. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I didn't know we had a wildlife center.
About 4 years ago, Dr. Corey Hines and I started the Wildlife Center. We were both licensed wildlife rehabilitators and decided it was our calling. And there was a wildlife center in McCleary probably about 15, 20 years ago that closed down.
Oh, yeah.
And they were taking in nearly 2,000 animals a year.
Wow.
So when they left, it left a huge void in our area.
Yeah. Where are you from, if you don't mind me asking?
Originally?
Mm-hmm.
Marysville.
Marysville. The Marysville Pilchucks.
Yes.
I was an Everett Seagull.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, right. I hear it's changed a lot from, you know, I haven't been there 30 years,
yeah,
so.
It's huge. I mean, the town is so different. It's not the little town we grew up in. It's big, lots of people.
That's heartbreaking, but oh well. Anyway, Twin Harbor Wildlife Center. We have a lot of wildlife around here.
We do, and we need rehabilitators to take care of the wildlife because there's a lot of human interaction with wildlife. I mean, they get hit by cars.
Right.
Our cats attack wildlife. Our dogs attack wildlife. And so our goal is to try to rehabilitate them and get them back out into the wild and reduce the impact of humans on wildlife.
Right. Because it's the wildlife's fault they're roaming in my yard. Not my fault, right?
Right.
I'm being a smart aleck.
Yeah.
But, okay, what does a person do? How do they get, you know, trained, or how do they rehabilitate, or how does that work?
So we take volunteers, and we always need more. Right now we probably have 60 volunteers, but we don't have enough. And once a month, Dr. Corey has an orientation and shows you what we're all about. And then if you're still interested in being a rehabilitator, then she does training. And then we set you up on the schedule and let you start feeding babies.
Nice.
And right now, I would say we probably have 30 to 40 babies in the center and one giant bald eagle.
A giant bald eagle?
Yeah, yeah. He was fighting with another bald eagle in the air, and they were getting pretty aggressive with each other, and they both fell and hit the road.
Oh, man.
But he was all torn up. That other eagle, like, ripped his skin on both sides. He's had to undergo several surgeries, but he's doing well, and we're hoping we'll be able to release him in a few weeks. So that giant round pin that you see when you drive down the highway, that is our raptor flight pen. And so after they're done being hospitalized and they're healed, then we put them in that giant flight pen and let them learn how to fly all over again. And then we also prey test them to make sure that they can catch their prey adequately before we release them back to the wild.
Ooh, how do you do that? Do you just let some mice run around or something?
Pretty much, but we actually have a big silver tank, stock tank, that the mice can't climb out of. We fill that up with branches and grass and put the rat and mouse in there, and so that they actually have to go find them.
Right.
And then the mouse can't run out and escape from us.
Where do you get the mice and the rats? Do you just find them out, you know, somebody's house under their, you know, under their house or something?
Oh, we may get them at the pet store.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Hey, man.
But an eagle's got to eat too, right?
Right. What if I was, you know, had mice on my property and caught them, could I, like, donate them to you?
As long as you don't use any bait.
Yeah,
poison. You can't use any poison.
Right.
If you catch them, like, in a trap.
Right.
And you want to put them in the freezer and keep them for us, then we'll take them.
Oh, okay. You'll take dead mice?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, because we start by feeding them dead fish and dead mice, you know, when they're being hospitalized. We don't put them with live prey until they get into the flight.
Wow.
So the other thing that we need a lot of is greens. I mean, we've got baby rabbits, baby possums, chipmunks, squirrels, and we need a lot of greens like kale, cilantro, spinach, So if you're growing greens in your garden and you need some place to take them, we would love to have them. We also go through lots and lots of eggs. So if you have extra eggs, we could use those too.
What do you use the eggs for?
For the possum food.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, possums eat.
Because you're not feeding the possums to the eagles.
No. Mm-mm.
You're rehabbing the possums,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we don't ever take the wildlife that we're rehabilitating and then
feed them to the eagle. Them.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, how big is that eagle?
He's about, I would say, 15 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
I don't think people, you know, when you see him flying up in the air, you know, they don't look all that big. But when they're down on the ground, it's like, whoa.
Yeah, they're massive. They're massive.
They're huge.
Their hands or their claws are bigger than our hands. And
right.
Their heads are enormous.
Do you ever get attached to any of the animals that you rehab?
We try not to. We don't name them.
Yeah.
We don't bond with them. The big thing is to keep them wild. The last thing that you want to do is release, like, say, a squirrel that's bonded with people, because then what's going to happen is that squirrel is going to go run up to a person, and if they don't know what's going on, they're going to be terrified of it, and then you're going to have some kind of disaster. So we never bond with them.
Yeah. That kind of sucks, though, but you got to do it, right?
Yeah.
It's what's best for the animal.
Yeah, because the whole purpose is to get them back into the wild and release them.
Right. Deer, do you rehab deer?
Well, what we say is that we will take anything and find a place for it or a solution. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons we can do that is because I am a veterinarian. So as a veterinarian, I can triage any animal. So we've taken baby bear, we've taken baby deer. One of my favorite stories is we had this giant, huge iguana come in the port in a car. They opened up one of these brand new cars from the port, and this huge iguana was sitting there.
Wow.
Well, he came from South America, and once he comes into the United States, South America won't take it back. So they called us, and then we found a zoo that took him.
Wow.
But he was gorgeous.
Yeah?
Did you
ever think about just keeping him?
No. No, you know, it's amazing because I see pet iguanas all the time.
Yeah?
They look nothing like this guy. This guy was gorgeous. His color was perfect. His spines were gorgeous. You know, unfortunately, everything that I see as a pet has some kind of immune problem or malnutrition or husbandry problem, and they never look that amazing.
Yeah.
So he really belonged in a zoo.
Wow.
So we've had sea otters, cougars.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we're not permitted to take them, then we will get them transferred to where they need to go.
Okay, so I want either a cougar cub, a bear cub, or a baby deer.
How about an otter? Baby otter? That'd be fun.
I'd have to think about that. Don't they need, like, a lot of water?
A lot of water. Yeah, you'd have to put it in your bathtub.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah. Big no-no. We can't do that. Sorry.
What? It's no fun.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Hey, if you have any questions for Sonia and the Twin Harbors Wildlife Center, that's 4 Old Beacon Road, Montesano, 98563, you can call us at 360-533-5259. You can email or text message Johnny@jodesha.com for local matters.
Does shopping local really make a difference? Well, yeah, it does. I mean, when we shop local, we help those small businesses thrive. And when they thrive, they hire our friends, neighbors, family members who in turn support other local establishments as well, like grocery, clothing, hardware stores, doctors, dentist office, banks, restaurants, on and on and on. All that makes for a better tax base for our community, which means better schools, roads, emergency service, and that's good for everyone. So go ahead, shop local, and that's all brought to you by the Downtown Aberdeen Association. So go ahead and download the district app today. That's DISTRX.
Hi, I'm Lillian Waysfield, graduating senior from Aberdeen High School. 12 years of hard work culminating in a night of celebration. Graduation night will be an all-out party. Only this graduating senior will be partying sober. I'm choosing to arrive alive at my graduation.
Congratulations, class of 2023. You've made it through a crazy year. And Ocean Shores IGA wants to remind you all to make your night a great one. Don't drink and drive. Arrive alive.
Harbor Regional Health would like to welcome nurse practitioner Rebecca Collins to their team. Rebecca works in the Montesano Family Medicine Office. She's an outstanding nurse practitioner who brings a wealth of knowledge and expertise to the practice. She has a passion for patient-centered holistic care, believing that the body is not separate from the mind or spirit. Rebecca offers a variety of health services and in-office procedures, including vaccinations and immunizations. Learn more at ghcares.org. Harbor Regional Health, because your health matters.
Stream 94.7 Timber Country online at gograysharbor.com. Brought to you by Pacific Insurance Group. Have questions about Medicare? Visit pacificinsurancegroup.com.
Sonia Wilkins is here with the Twin Harbors Wildlife Center. We're talking about, well, wildlife. We have a lot of it, you know. I guess there's some coyotes running around, and we got a black bear out in Ocean Shores, and of course the deer out there that people have trained to, you know,
yeah,
feed by hand, which I understand is not a good thing.
No.
All right.
No.
It's kind of selfish when you think about it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they really need to stay wild.
Yeah.
You start getting them too close to humans, and then they're at risk of getting attacked by our dogs, getting hit by cars.
Mm-hmm. Giving you ticks.
Yeah, giving us ticks. One of the things that a lot of people do is feed raccoons. Mm-hmm. And that's really dangerous because raccoons carry a parasite that can go into our brain and give us something that looks like a big brain tumor, but it's a cyst from a parasite.
Oh.
And they also carry distemper. And so you're risking your dogs getting canine distemper from the raccoons.
Okay, so what if I have a live trap because the raccoons are getting my chickens and I get that raccoon,
mm-hmm,
and it's safe, it's not harmed? Can I bring him to you? Or does it need to be injured? Not that I would deliberately injure it, but...
Mm-hmm. No, we only take injured wildlife,
okay,
and we actually aren't set up to take raccoons at this point because,
oh, okay,
our center is on the same property as a veterinary hospital.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to expose our dogs to distemper.
Yeah,
so
that
we're
makes
not
sense,
set up
though
for that. And it takes some really specialized buildings to do raccoons. Like, you have to have a solid cement floor.
Jail cell and...
Yeah, because you have to flame that cement floor at the end of every season to kill the Balis ascaris, the parasite that they carry, so that it doesn't,
wow,
get to the humans.
What about, like, as babies? Do they have that stuff as babies?
They do.
The raccoons?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, it's endemic in their population.
Mm.
So the closest center that takes raccoons is Center Valley, up on Highway 3.
I don't even know where Highway 3 is. Where's Highway 3?
Out past Shelton.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean by Highway 4 and 2, between 2 and 4, right? Sorry. So you could use more volunteers. Do they need to go to Montesano to be a volunteer then, because that's where the shop is?
We actually need volunteers for a lot of different things. Like,
mm-hmm,
we've got the volunteers that feed babies, but we also have volunteers that go out to public events and staff our booths.
Oh.
We need volunteers to input information into our computer system, to do outreach, publicity,
mm-hmm,
write newsletters, educate the public. So, honestly, if you want to be a volunteer, we have all kinds of options for you.
Yeah, that wouldn't require... them to work with the animals then, right?
Exactly. If you don't want to work with the animals, then we've got other options.
Okay. I have a perfect event for your organization to go to. I'll tell you about it off the air.
Okay.
But there's a vaccine microchip clinic coming up, right?
Yes. Yes. We were doing a vaccine microchip clinic as a fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be held at Monty Farm and Home, mm-hmm, on July 29th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And we'll be doing rabies vaccines for dogs,
mm-hmm,
distemper parvo vaccines, kitty vaccines, and microchips.
It's Local Matters. You're on the air.
Hey, can a volunteer help house animals at their place? We have a small farm. Is that a possibility?
No. By law, we are only allowed to house animals at the location we're permitted for, but we are always looking for places to release animals.
Ooh.
And
oh, okay.
So if you have, you know, a farm with a lot of property, we could release bunnies there, possums, if you want us to release possums there. Any of the baby animals, we always need places to release them. the large adult animals, we try to release them where they're found, you know, especially the raptors, the eagles and the hawks and the owls. But if we get in a clutch of baby owls, for example, we're always looking for places to release those, especially the barn owls.
Yeah, I don't think we'd take any rabbits at our place. Boy, there's been an explosion of rabbits the last 2 years.
Yes, there has. But it goes in peaks and valleys. You know, the rabbit explosion.
Oh, sure.
It gets pretty high and gives the raptors a lot to eat, and then the raptors kind of diminish the population of rabbits, and then the population goes down, and then the raptor population goes down, so it comes and goes.
Yeah, our cat likes to bring little bunnies in them that time of year, so I'm waiting to see one, but I haven't seen one yet.
Yeah.
Brought up by the cat.
Yeah, as a wildlife rehabilitator and a veterinarian, I hate to hear about kitties attacking the bunnies. That's a tough one for me.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. The number is 360-533-5259. You can email or text message johnny@jodesha.com. If you have any questions for Sonia Wilkins, the Twin Harbors Wildlife Center. We've been talking about the vaccine and microchip clinic. That's July 29th. Where is it at?
Montesano Farm and Home.
Okay, that's right. Any other events coming up that you guys, any fundraisers or anything?
We will have a booth at the car show in Elma.
Oh, yeah?
Okay. And we're going to be present at the garage sale, both the All City garage sale in Elma and Montesano. I'm trying to think what other fundraisers we have coming up. We try to keep fundraisers going all the time.
Right.
We're always looking for funds.
Yeah. Now, you were talking about owls. Do you get many owls?
We do. Yeah. We do. We get quite a few owls. This year, though, seems to be the bald eagles. It's like the year of bald eagles. Since January 1st, I think we've had 9.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they all got injured somehow?
Mm-hmm. Like we've had a couple hit by cars. We had one that had lead poisoning. Mm. We did have one that was a gunshot wound. Mm. So it's always something.
Somebody
a little bit
shot
different.
At an eagle.
Yeah, it's being investigated.
Isn't that, a federal offense or
it
something
is.
Like that?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Who'd do something stupid like that?
I don't know. They're out there. They walk among us.
Right. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Do you get any spotted owls?
No, we have never gotten a spotted owl yet.
Never once got a spotted owl.
Not
but
yet.
You've gotten barred owls.
Lots of barred owls, great horn owls, barn owls, the little tiny pygmy owls. Those are my favorite.
We have pygmy owls?
We do, yeah. They're like about this big and they're really cute.
Wow, 5-6 inches?
Yeah.
So do they live all around Grays Harbor or just certain areas?
All around.
Yeah?
We have a huge population of wildlife in the two counties.
Wow. Any unique animals that you wouldn't think we had around here?
I was surprised at how many turtles we have. Last year we had a couple...
Like wild turtles?
Wild turtles, yeah. Last year we got a couple turtles in that we rehabilitated. That one had been hit by a car and had a damaged cell that we did surgery on and then were able to release. He was in the center for the whole summer, 2-3 months.
Wow. That just sounds painful, having your shell cracked.
Yeah, because that's a skeleton, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Ouch. How do you fix that?
Epoxy.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Super glue?
Yeah. Super glue back together.
All right. Put some duct tape.
Yeah, it's a gauze and epoxy mixture.
Yeah.
Mix up the epoxy and gauze, and then you just coat the crack where it's cracked.
Yeah.
And then replace that every week or so.
Wow. Do we tag these animals so we know that, we had this eagle that we fixed before? Or?
Not typically.
No?
Not typically.
Oh.
Yeah.
Would there be any reason to do that?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
You know, unless there's some type of research that we were doing on the eagle, collecting blood samples or something, then we might want to, but we're not really set up for that.
Any... like rare diseases going on with any of our wildlife?
Last year we had the highly pathogenic avian influenza.
Mm-hmm.
So that decreased how many birds we were really allowed to take in. We actually got the first case of avian influenza in Grays Harbor come through our center.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in a goose.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And we had quite a few geese last year that had it. This year we've already seen it in crows out in Westport.
It's Local Matters. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
Say, I have a bunch of gray squirrels that come around looking for peanuts, and one of these grays has some kind of damage. I don't know if it's nerve damage or what, but it can't walk very well. It keeps rolling over, but he keeps coming around. So if I were able to capture him and bring him to you, what would you do with it?
We'd probably start with some x-rays, because there is a condition that we see in squirrels where they have malformed vertebrae. And those vertebrae, if it's far enough on his back, will cause some nerve impingement and make it where they don't walk real great. But if that was the only thing wrong with him and he's still able to act like a squirrel and get food and do what squirrels do, then he would be perfectly releasable. There'd be no reason to euthanize him or anything like that.
All right. Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for the call. The number is 360-533-5259. You can email or text message. It's johnny@jodesha.com. Do you get seals?
We do, sort of.
Yeah.
All of the sea life like that, the mammals have to go through... the feds, and we're not permitted to actually keep them,
mm-hmm.
but the feds will stop by our clinic and ask for help at times, like
yeah.
an examination, or if they're really suffering, euthanize them. But we're not permitted to keep them.
Do you ever get baby seals where people think that they're abandoned, or maybe they have been? I mean, how can you tell if it's the baby seal's been abandoned or not?
Yes, we have.
Yeah.
And again, we transfer them. But if you see a baby seal on the beach, leave it alone.
Right.
Yeah, because the mom isn't far away. She's just out getting food.
Right. It's like a bassinet.
Yes.
A beach bassinet. It's time for our bottom of the hour break. We'll do some news, weather, and more local matters. Good morning.
NBC News Radio, I'm Michael Kastner. A Florida businessman says his family was on the crash plane that caused chaos in Washington, D.C. More from Mark Mayfield.
The plane sparked panic yesterday after it violated restricted airspace and forced the military to scramble F-16s at supersonic speeds. That caused a sonic boom that led to phone calls to the police and to news outlets. The civilian plane crashed in the Virginia wilderness after repeated attempts by NORAD to establish contact. John Rumpel says his daughter, 2-year-old granddaughter, her nanny, and the pilot were aboard the plane. He believes that the plane lost pressurization and all aboard passed out prior to the crash.
Two people remain unaccounted for more than a week after an apartment building in Davenport, Iowa, partially collapsed. The body of 42-year-old Brandon Colvin Sr. was found over the weekend. And the Florida Panthers will look to even the Stanley Cup final tonight. The Las Vegas Golden Knights took Game 1 on Saturday by a score of 5-2. Michael Kastner, NBC News Radio.
Itchy dog? Scratchy cat? Fluffy buns not looking quite so fluffy these days? Hi, I'm Dr. Berge with Blue Cross Vet in Central Park. Did you know that many skin problems are easily treatable with prescription medications? Relief is simpler than you may think. Call Blue Cross Vet at 533-2591 and we'll help your furry friend be furry again.
When your pets are like family, Blue Cross Vet is there, healing pets rain or shine since 1929.
Hi, I'm Issa Renteria, graduating senior from Aberdeen High School. Memories are made from monumental moments in one's life. Graduation is one of those moments to remember. Why ruin it by being intoxicated? I choose to arrive alive.
Congratulations, senior class of 2023 from First Harbor Real Estate. Wishing you the best in all you do. First Harbor Real Estate works hard for you whether you're looking to purchase a home, land, or commercial property.
It's your Timber Country weather forecast. Expect sunshine today with highs in the mid-60s. Clear tonight, little windy. Overnight lows at 47. Sunny and 71 for tomorrow. 67 and sunshine Wednesday. Lower 60s and sun Thursday and Friday. We may get a shower Saturday and partly sunny on Sunday.
The Roof Doctor is growing and they want you. Experience is appreciated, but not required. If you're looking for a career you can thrive in and are well compensated for, apply now at theroofdoctor.com and click Join Our Team.
Estamos contratando. Ven a aplicar hoy con el doctor del techo.
When your roof is sick, call the Roof Doctor, 360-533-0314.
94.7 Timber Country. It's local matters. Here's Johnny Manson.
We're talking about wildlife in Twin Harbors. We have a lot of it. Sonia Wilkins is a DVM, licensed wildlife rehabilitator. What does DVM mean?
Doctor of Veterinary Medicine.
Oh, okay. That's like you gotta like be smart for that.
Well, a few years of school anyway.
And we have a wildlife center. It's Twin Harbors Wildlife Center. It's in Montesano, 4 Old Beacon Road. You can go to twinharborswildlife.org for more information. So you can always use help with the money, the funding,
yes,
donations, things like that, right?
Yes, definitely.
Because this stuff costs money, right?
A lot of money.
Because when your car goes and hits that deer for you to fix, it takes stuff to fix that deer, mm-hmm, that my car just hit.
Right.
Right. How about any like Fed grants or Fed money or anything like that? Anything available?
So our biggest funder, honestly, has been Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife.
Yeah.
They paid to build that big flight that sits on our property. Every 2 years is a new grant cycle. Mm-hmm. And we get grant money from them. And that grant money comes from the license plates that you guys put on your cars. So if you get that... the wildlife license plate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a portion of that money goes back to wildlife rehabilitators, so that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
And then the mew, the smaller room that sits outside that flight, is called a mew, and that was funded by Partners for Wildlife, University of Minnesota Raptor Center.
Mm-hmm.
And we did just apply for another grant to build a second mew, so hopefully we'll find out about that this month.
You've been saying raptors a lot, and I keep thinking Jurassic Park.
Hey, they're all related. Dinosaurs, right?
Right. Do you think that they had feathers like some are speculating and theorizing?
Yeah, when you see a baby bald eagle, it really reminds you of a pterodactyl.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So I think they were all related, and I think a lot of the birds are just our closest relatives to the dinosaurs.
Yeah. They're like, yeah, we used to rule this place.
That's right. Yeah, and you know, it's funny because when we work with those bald eagles, they are not afraid of people at all.
Really?
No, no. They know they're in charge, and
yeah,
when we go in the room to catch them, they just come right after us. They're going to attack us.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
They have like an ego?
Yeah, they're pretty confident.
Wow. How come they don't like attack people?
They don't need to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they know what their food is, and yeah, they know they're not going to be able to catch us and eat us anyway,
yeah,
so they just leave us alone. They know they're superior to us in their minds.
Yeah, right. Man, they're huge.
Yeah.
And how many have you had?
Since January 1st, we've had 9 bald eagles.
That were injured.
Yeah, this is the year of bald eagles.
Huh. Where are they coming from?
We've gotten them from Lacey. Mm-hmm. A lot of them come from Quinault, because
mm-hmm,
there's a corridor there where they fly down to catch their prey, and they tend to get hit by cars there.
Oh.
We get them out of Grace Harbor County. Oh, really fun story. Last year we had not a bald eagle, but the other big water bird. I'm drawing a blank on it.
Not a hawk?
No. Anyway, it was a baby. It fell out of the nest.
Oh.
And we were able to call PUD, and PUD sent out their linesman and put it back in the nest for us.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was
working
great.
Working together.
Yeah, it was fun. So kudos to our PUD linesman.
So if someone listening, they're retired and they used to write grants for the company they used to work for, you could use that?
We would love them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to have a grant writer. Right now I'm doing all the grant writing in between my full-time job and my other volunteer position, so it's challenging to find enough time to write the grants that we need. Right now we're lucky enough not to have to pay rent, but that will change, and at some point we're going to have to pay rent, and we have to come up with the money to be able to do that.
Who do you have to pay rent to?
The owner of the property that the veterinary clinic sits on.
Oh, okay.
So, we have been open for almost 4 years. So,
rent-free. That was nice of them.
And right now we have no employees. We're all volunteer only.
Yeah.
You know, but I know a lot of the bigger centers, to get to that point and to be big enough, they have to start hiring employees too. So at some point we are going to need the money coming in to be able to grow in the way we want to grow. Because our goal is at some point to be able to intake 2,000 animals a year.
Wow. When did you figure out you wanted to work with animals and help animals?
When I was 7.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, one of those stories. I always wanted to be a veterinarian.
Yeah.
And I kind of took a convoluted way of getting there. I graduated from high school, got married, had my family, and then I went to vet school.
Right.
And then after I became a vet, I've always been very passionate about birds. And so I was doing wildlife rehabilitation on the side. And I got licensed or permitted to be able to do that, and kind of piddled around with that for 5, 6, 7 years. And then I was invited to be a on the Partners for Wildlife group. And that Partners for Wildlife group kind of changed my whole thought process and made me realize that I really had a calling and we needed a wildlife center here. And so Dr. Corey and I partnered together to open it.
What does it take to get licensed?
To be permitted? It takes, I believe, about 400 hours of volunteer time with a licensed wildlife rehabilitator. And after you have done your hours and documented those, then you have to sit for some exams and tests.
Yeah.
And then it takes continuing education hours every year to be able to continue to be permitted.
So since you guys are licensed, can people get their hours with you now?
And we have two assistant rehabilitators right now that were interns for 3 years, Amy and Carla. And we have a new intern this year, Brandon.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So, and so they're all working on becoming permitted wildlife rehabilitators, too. And once they're permitted, then they can open their own centers.
And get their own funding.
Yes.
Because it's not easy, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Or keep working with us. We'd be happy to have them work with us forever. They're great.
Right. Do you have any pets yourself?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? How many pets do you have? If you don't mind me asking.
You know, honestly, I don't know.
Yeah, you have that many?
Yeah.
You just don't know?
Yeah. I have 5 dogs.
Wow.
2 cats. Maybe 6 dogs. 2 cats.
Maybe 6.
A lot of parrots and a lot of parakeets.
Yeah?
Yeah. I actually have a sanctuary for old parrots.
Yeah, to kind of like retire.
To retire it.
Yeah.
Yeah, when they've lost their homes.
Yeah.
And saltwater fish.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you have cages for all the birds, or do they just kind of fly anywhere?
They have a building.
Yeah, they have their own building.
They have a building, and they have an attached flight that's a 20 by 20 flight that's 30 feet high, and we open it up during good weather, and they fly around. The building is like a 2-car garage-sized building.
Wow.
Yeah, and they're all free-flighted.
Can you house more, like if somebody listening, like, hey, man, I can't handle this parrot anymore, can I send them... Do you?
They can email me and I can give them options.
Okay. Give them options.
Yes.
All right. What do I do if I have raccoons in my trash?
You can trap them and contact WDFW and they'll help you with options to remove the raccoons to another location.
Yeah.
But the best thing is to keep your trash covered.
Right. Now they have these like locks on their the trash cans, and the key is on it too for, I guess, whatever, for convenience. But the raccoons can't take the key, use keys. They're not that smart, right? They can do latches, right?
Yeah, they're pretty smart, but not that smart.
But not smart enough to use a key, right?
No.
Okay, well, that's good. You know, with your cats and then your birds, the cats don't mess with the birds. My cats are always, they see birds outside, and they're just, they start freaking out. They start twitching, and they wanted those birds.
My cats are indoor only. I don't let them outside because I don't like the cat-wildlife conflict. Because cats catch birds, and we need all the birds in the wild that we can get. So my cats really don't come into contact with my birds.
If they see birds, do they start twitching and freaking out?
Yeah, they get pretty excited.
Do they?
Yeah. I just let them watch computer-generated videos of birds.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do they start twitching watching the TV,
too?
They do. Wow. Yeah. I got to try that.
Yeah, they love the computer, the computer videos.
Wow.
Go to YouTube, videos for cats.
Videos for cats.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you let your dogs watch anything?
They don't care.
They don't care.
They're not
interested.
They
just want food.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, well, it's 8:43. We have one more segment here talking about the Twin Harbors Wildlife. You can go to twinharborwildlife.org for more info.
West Haven Villa Assisted Living is dedicated to help you find the right care for your loved one. West Haven Villa promotes freedom, independence, and purpose for seniors in a safe, home-like environment. Our mission is to exceed expectations for loving, thoughtful care. Stop by and tour West Haven Villa today, or for more information about our community, visit us online at caringplaces.com.
Hi, I'm Anna Madison, graduating senior from Aberdeen High School. It's a simple decision for me. Do I get drunk and get pulled over, or do I stay sober and enjoy graduation? 12 hard years of studying have given me the wisdom to make the right decisions in life. And I'm starting with the decision to stay sober and arrive alive at my graduation.
Congrats, class of 2023 from K&J Design in Hoquiam. Don't take a chance with your life, arrive alive. With over 17 years of experience designing cabinets, the future of your kitchen is K&J Design.
The Roof Doctor is growing, and they want you. Experience is appreciated, but not required. If you're looking for a career you can thrive in and are well compensated for, apply now at theroofdoctor.com and click Join Our Team.
Estamos contratando. Ven a aplicar hoy con el doctor del techo.
When your roof is sick, call the Roof Doctor, 360-533-0314.
Sonia is here from the Twin Harbors Wildlife Center. They rehabilitate wildlife that they get injured. I was going to blame it all on us, but sometimes it's not always our fault, right?
Not always, but most of the time it is.
Most of the time?
Yeah.
Hit by a car or something. What's another common way that wildlife gets injured beyond the car thing?
Our cats and our dogs.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, dogs and cats catching bunnies and catching possums. And possums are really misunderstood.
Are they?
Yeah, they really are. I mean, there's a lot of people that really hate possums that'll go out of their way to actually run them over.
They're ugly.
Yeah, but they're really not aggressive. And they catch tons of ticks, and they're scavengers, so they clean up all that garbage that we don't want around.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just kind of really benign little critters. They So if you ever see a possum that's been hit by a car, get out of your car and check for a pouch, because a lot of times there's babies in that pouch.
Oh.
And we can save those babies.
Yeah, save the babies.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of gross, though. You know? Like, if it's all smushed or,
I mean, yes, it can be.
Can I catch anything from the possum?
Not really.
No,
there's really nothing that goes from possums to humans. I always carry baby wipes and gloves in my car in case I need to stop by the side of the road and move a dead animal out of the road just for sake of respect.
Right.
Or I need
thump,
to check
thump,
that
thump,
pouch.
Thump, thump, thump,
mm-hmm.
thump. Yeah. Oh, I've seen that so many times on 109. It's a shame.
Yeah.
But you've gotten cougars before?
We have. Mm-hmm.
How do you handle that?
Well, we work with the biologists, like on the Quinault Indian Nation, and mm-hmm. They'll bring cougars into us if they need something done or they need mm-hmm. help catching them so that they can pull blood off of them and then release them again, mm-hmm. Or if it's a necropsy, an autopsy that needs to be done.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Are they difficult to work with, the cougars?
Well, we dart them.
Yeah. Put them to sleep.
Yeah. Do everything while they're sleeping, and then before they wake up, run away.
Right. How about foxes? Do we have foxes around here? I heard we did. But
we haven't gotten any fox. Yeah. We haven't gotten any fox, and we haven't gotten any coyote yet.
Oh, okay.
So I'm surprised. I'm sure that that'll be coming. We have had river otters. Those were fun.
I didn't know we had river otters.
We do. We have river otters. And lots and lots of ducklings this year.
Yeah, I saw on your Facebook you have a gaggle of ducklings. I don't know if they're called a gaggle, a group of ducklings. And somebody brought those in?
It's several different clutches. They come in threes and fives, and we will group them together by age. And then when they are releasable, we try to release them where they were found.
You won't give them away for pets?
No. Actually, one of those groups of ducklings was confiscated by WDFW because somebody had was raising them for food.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and you can't do that. It's a wild animal. You're not allowed to do that.
But you can go down to Tractor Supply and buy them, though.
Yeah, but these are wild ducklings. Right. These aren't domestic.
Yeah.
So that's the difference. And we don't take domestic animals.
At all?
No. People always try to get us to take domestic animals, and we don't.
I know this is like a dumb question, but how do you tell?
You can tell. Like, I've raised a lot of domestic ducks, and so mm-hmm. I tend to know what they look like. Their markings are a little bit different, and the size is different.
Okay. Now, I heard, this is just a big rumor, that possums weren't really native around here, that somebody brought them as pets, and then they got loose, and then there you go. Do you know if there's any accuracy to that?
You are correct that they are not native,
mm-hmm.
And the gray squirrels are also not native. And the cottontail bunnies are not native. So there are some wildlife rehabilitators that will not take care of non-native species. They will only do the native species.
Right.
But we do them all.
You do them all?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I don't know. Also, barred owls are not native to this area either.
Oh, yeah?
They're just very good at adjusting to new areas, and they've been able to move in.
Where did they come from?
Back east. They just like slowly migrated to the west, but they're not traditionally native species.
So in addition to monetary, and you talked about like greens and things, you can use like cilantro and plain yogurt donations?
Yes. Yep. For feeding the babies.
Mm-hmm.
The cilantro and the greens we use for the bunnies and the ducklings. We don't really like lettuce, and they don't really like the spinach too much, but they like mm-hmm. kale and chard and beet tops, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the yogurt and the eggs we use to make up the possum formula.
Any other kind of things you could use that people might have an abundance of? Oh, well, I, cut my carrot tops all the time. I'll just collect them and bring them over or something.
Yeah, things like that are great. We also we have a wish list up on our Facebook page.
Oh, yeah?
But we can use, like, baby food jar containers, or the empty baby food jars.
Oh, yeah.
The empty buckets from cat litter, we use those all the time. Mm-hmm. We use them to store food in, and we also use them to release the wildlife in, because we can do, like, a soft release we drill holes in the buckets, and then we put like the possums in there, and then just open it up and walk away and let them have a place where they can come and go for a few days.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll go clean up our mess in a few days after the possums have self-released. So we can use things like that too. And we're always looking for people to help clean,
mm-hmm.
Clean up around the facilities, around the property.
Oh, people don't want to clean. They want the glam parts of just working with the animals.
It's definitely not glamorous.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stink that goes into wildlife rehabilitation.
How many hours of a commitment would a volunteer be required to, or is it just anything?
As little as an hour a week.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything they can do. Like I said, it doesn't even have to be feeding animals. It could be computer work at home.
Yeah?
If that's something you want to do. Or if you're a seamstress and you want to sew bedding for us or crochet little nests for us, we can always use those too.
Crocheted nests?
Yeah, so like the baby birds and the baby squirrels sit in these little crocheted bowl-looking things.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's patterns that we can give people.
Oh, I was going to ask, do you have patterns? Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
I'm looking at your Facebook. You guys have quite a bit of just information up on your Facebook page.
Yeah, and we have a great following of people on Facebook that help us all the time. Like, we'll put out a notice that, gee, we're almost out of baby squirrel food. Can you buy some on Amazon and ship it? And the next day it shows up like magic. It's amazing how that works. People are really good to us. And very helpful. We couldn't have this center without the support that we get from the public.
Yeah. I wasn't even aware that it has existed, so I'm so glad to be enlightened, you know?
Well, we're trying to get word out. I think there's a lot of people that don't know we exist.
Yeah.
We've only been open for 3 to 4 years, and a big chunk of it was during COVID.
Oh, yeah.
When nothing was happening anyway.
Right.
And so we're still, you know, out there trying to get the word out so that people know we're there.
And as a fundraiser, a vaccine and microchip clinic, July 29th, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., with all proceeds going to the Twin Harbors Wildlife Center. How does that microchip thing work? You know, you chip your dog and you can, you know, find them wherever they are, or how does that work?
It's not a GPS.
Okay.
So it's just a chip that has a number in it, and so if you were to find a dog, you'd take it to the animal shelter or any veterinarian.
Mm-hmm.
They'd scan them. And that number pops up, and then we can find the owners based on that number.
Okay.
And so it's a form of ID.
I was thinking maybe it was like a GPS.
It'd be nice, but they don't have those yet. The newest microchips, though, they're about 3 years old, from home again, have a temperature sensor in them.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I'm doing a physical exam on a dog that has one of those temperature sensor microchips in there, all I have to do is scan it and get the temp. I don't have to take their temperature anymore.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah, it's really nice.
A little less intrusive
and
invasive.
Yeah, the dogs appreciate it. I think the owners appreciate it more.
Yeah. Now, I heard that I think like cats, when they get like spayed or neutered, whatever, you know, fixed, they're getting like tattoos on their belly or something, maybe where the incision was or something, to let like someone know if they find that, okay, this cat's been fixed.
Some vets do that.
Yeah.
Not all do. If it's a feral cat, a wild cat, what we'll do is we'll tip the ear. We'll just cut off the quarter inch of their ear.
Yeah.
And that tells you from looking at the cat far away, you can tell that it's already been spayed or neutered. So you know if you need to catch that one to spay and neutered or not. But the tattoo, it's not universal.
Does that hurt when you cut their ear off?
They're already on pain meds because they've been spayed and neutered.
Ah, nice.
Yeah. So.
Double whammy.
Yep.
Wow. So if you have any questions, you can call us at 360-533-5259. You can email or text message. It's Johnny at Jodesha.com, the Twin Harbor Wildlife Center. They help fix our damaged wildlife oftentimes when we hit them with our cars. But owls, hawks, eagles, I already asked about the spotted owl. You've not had one spotted owl in. That's just weird to me.
Not yet.
Yeah. Any other animals that...
We've had great blue herons, and we've had green herons. We get a lot of seabirds.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Last year, we had 3 or 4 pelicans.
Like with the big chin
thing? Brown pelicans. Mm-hmm.
We have those around here?
We do.
Wow.
Out at the ocean.
Hmm.
And seagulls. We get seagulls all the time.
Do you?
Yeah, lots of seagulls.
What happens to them? Cars?
Cars, yeah. Yeah, or, you know, sometimes they just get old and they get cancer. And as they start kind of deteriorating with the cancer taking over their body, then they get to the point where somebody can pick them up and then they bring them up into us. And so if it's something like that, then we humanely euthanize.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we got one of the bald eagles we got this year had cancer. So he was just an old bald eagle, and he was at the end of his life.
How do old wildlife get cancer?
Just like we do. Just like dogs and cats do.
Wow.
It's not, it's not something that when we get cancer or a dog gets cancer, it's nothing that we've done wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know sometimes it's chemicals, but that's not universal. Hmm. Sometimes it's just old age and cell duplication.
Wow. So you're always doing like training for this stuff?
We do in the spring and the summer. In the wintertime, when the babies aren't coming in anymore, we break off of the training because it doesn't make a lot of sense to train you and then have you sit there for 3 months with nothing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so most of the training is done in the spring and the summer because that's when most of our work is done.
Are we finding out new things about our wildlife?
We are. We are. Mm-hmm. Like, some of the bigger centers will do research on the wildlife that they get in. Or the other thing is we have a universal computer program
mm-hmm.
that all the wildlife rehabilitators input information in, and then they can take that information and the researchers can look at it and say, you know, how many bald eagles had lead poisoning this year, or how many owls got hit by a car, or how many possums came in with the specific parasite.
Mm-hmm.
And because we're all sharing that information, it's really easy to look through it and be able to do research that way.
Hmm. Okay. This happens kind of frequently. A mother deer gets hit by the car. The baby deer's mm-hmm. by the mom, just sitting there,
mm-hmm.
doesn't know what else to do. Do they bring it to you?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, bring it into us. We are not permitted for deer, but mm-hmm. what we'll do is we'll triage the deer, feed it, give it fluids, and then we take it up to Center Valley where they are permitted to do deer. And then they raise those deer and then release them when they're older.
I wouldn't mind having a pet deer.
No, you don't want a pet deer.
I don't?
No. They get kind of aggressive.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They grow up.
Yeah. They become teenagers.
They become teenagers and they become mean.
Yeah. Mean teenagers.
Yeah.
That's what deers are. Well, I really appreciate you coming in and letting
us
know.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, and I hope you come back and kind of give us some updates. We have the Vaccine and Microchip Clinic. It's a fundraiser. All proceeds going to the Twin Harbors Wildlife Center. They are at 4 Old Beacon Road, Montesano, Washington. And you can call 360-861-4556. You come in next month, I hope.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thanks for having us.
Yep.
All right.